Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me as always...
It's Ben Vanel here, Tommy. It's great to be here. There's a little fly buzzing around my microphone.
Yeah, you stink.
Oh, man.
Get a load of pig pen over here.
Oh, it's okay. Out with it. Get them all out. Have a go. Joining us on the couch, on the new couch.
The fly was... you've got a new couch.
Mm-hmm.
My name's Adam Knox, and the fly was only buzzing around the microphone because you smell too bad even for a fly.
Okay.
They've been going for my eyes lately.
Really?
They're always trying to get in my eyes.
Is that why you're wearing those snow goggles now?
Yeah, that's why I'm...
Does that explain the new look?
Completely head to toe in a hazmat suit. Does that not happen normally? I was trying to figure this out earlier.
What?
Whenever there's flies around, they'll like get in my fucking eyes.
Do my eyes stink? Do you just notice it more when they go near your eyes?
I guess
surely
so.
They're buzzing around.
But it seems
your
to happen
head.
All the time, and they try it again and again and again. It seems to be specifically, it might be like the saltiness of tears.
Sure, the fluid, yeah.
There'll be one listener who knows exactly the answer for this.
Please let me know.
And they're just going insane right now.
Sitting there typing with four of their six legs going, your eyes are... I figured it out.
What?
Eyes. They think they're flies.
Oh. They're trying to mate with your eyeball.
It's a misunderstanding they're having with the English language.
Yeah, it's a wordplay issue.
Yeah.
Adam, it's a very windy day today in Melbourne.
It's fucked.
I just met you in the street outside Ben's house.
Yeah.
And we were commenting on how windy it was, and you said that you were wearing glasses purely to protect yourself from the wind and the debris.
It's because of the hay fever and my eyes get all scratchy, and then I can't, like... do anything about it when there's contact lenses in there.
I just thought of it because, Ben, your snow goggles thing wasn't completely inaccurate.
Yeah.
Because he sort of is using his glasses as a form of protection.
They're
safety,
not debris-proof, but I've been getting fucking terrible hay fever. And so instead of taking the actual solution, which is to buy medication and remember to use it, I've got medication at home. Keep forgetting. Because when you're at home, the elements can't get to
That's
you.
That's it. And you got to like take it a couple of days in a row for it to build up properly, the legit shit.
I'm terrible at it. I'm going to be one of the reasons that the superbug happens because I keep forgetting to finish courses of antibiotics.
What's going on? Like, in the last year, I feel like I know at least five people who've just like developed really bad hay fever
in one of them.
The last 12 months. What's going on?
I've heard, and I think this is probably from someone who I have no reason to trust. I don't remember who it was.
You don't trust them.
Well, please, feel free to waste our time with this one.
Almost certainly some random person, but this sounded right.
Okay.
Diesel. It's the increase of diesel in the atmosphere.
That sounds like a chemtrails
and like petrol
conspiracy.
And stuff. It does something to your nasal passages.
Okay.
Degrades them to the point or something where
they're more
pollen,
sensitive or something. Yeah.
I wish when you'd said Diesel that the actual reason had been the musician.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's got something to do with it. I swear to God, he's going around infecting people with hay fever.
He's the man at the top of the pyramid. The little thing on the wall where everything's connected to Diesel.
Diesel exhaust particles and allergenicity of pollen grains of SARS, blah, blah, blah. And this is from www.ncbi.nlm.nih.gov.
Wow.
So if you're telling me that isn't some serious fucking organization, the National... I'm already stumped.
It's got .gov in
NIH there. Is National Institute for Health.
Right.
Okay.
NLM will be National Losers Market, which is where you shop, Tommy.
Oh, my God.
And wow. NCBI stands for Never Consume Bix, Isogi Wheat.
Okay.
The North, South, East, West one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, it's, They are, okay, major grass pollen allergen binds to diesel exhaust particles. Maybe it makes the pollen stronger.
Right.
Right.
Anyway, they're linked in some way.
I feel very fortunate, and I don't want to jinx it, but I've never had a problem with like hay fever or pollen or anything like that.
It's fucking
awful. I feel like maybe my days are numbered, or am I in the clear? I don't know. I'm 33.
I was like 30, and then it hit.
Really?
And it hit really hard.
I was like 26. Yeah. And it you get all the symptoms of like a terrible, terrible cold, where if you were that sick, people would go like, fucking go home.
Yeah, right.
But if it's just hay fever, people are like, stop sniffing.
Yes.
Yeah, get over it. Yeah. Stop whinging.
Because like, I sometimes get a fever, like I'll get, like literal fever. I'll get a headache. Mm. Like I can't open my eyes. And you're right. It's like, that's the flu.
Yeah.
But people are like, gosh, what are you, just have a little sneeze over there, mate. A little sneeze.
Sneezing it up, are you?
We need to rise up.
Yes.
Hay fever gamers, rise up.
Just very quickly, Adam, we will get into video games chat soon. But just very quickly, since you're the one sitting on it, I would love it if you could give us a quick review of Ben's new couch. Yeah. Adam's couch corner.
It's a couch. It's midway between being soft and firm. Mm-hmm. I'd say more on the soft side. It's a little plush.
Really? You think it's a little soft?
I like a firm couch, though.
Yeah.
I like a firm bed.
Yes.
I like a firm penis. I like everything that I'm ever going to sit on.
Well, I like them all about semi.
Once you hit a certain age, that's about all you can expect.
That's it. The hay fever comes on strong and everything else stops.
Yeah, it's nice, though.
It looks better than your old couch, I got to say.
Yeah.
It looks like it's a, yeah.
It's the exact color of my phone. Which would really annoy me if I lived here, because I would definitely leave that phone on this couch and go, where's my phone?
Yeah, yeah. That's why I got the white phone case. Just
nice.
Are you serious?
No.
Oh, wow. That's something I can see you doing, though. Yes. Color coordinating your phone case to your couch would be an extreme BV move.
Maybe I color coordinated the couch to my phone, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
Because I already had the phone.
I do know what you mean.
Yeah.
What do we got in the way of news this week, boys? There are a few big releases to talk about.
Yeah, we finished with Couch Corner.
out of five, what would you give it, Adam?
Look.
Maybe a better question is this. Would you be happy with this couch in your own home?
Two things.
It's too short for Adam.
Exactly.
Okay.
I wouldn't be able to lie down on this couch.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's about my only issue with it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not bad.
Because so me sort of sitting, you know, a bit up against the cushions, legs out, gets right to the end. It's perfect. Yeah.
Oh, and you've got a little pillow in the corner of it too. Someone's been kicking back facing the TV.
Hey, I'm on leave.
Yep.
I've been on holidays. I've been falling asleep on the couch a lot. It's been fantastic. I'm loving it.
I can't wait to be like a dad who will immediately fall asleep upon getting home.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's my dream, is to sit in my chair, head back, mouth open.
Yeah.
One of my shithead kids drops something in my mouth and I have to yell at them. But I've got the spaghetti in my mouth that they just dropped in there. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, they only dropped food in there.
Yeah.
They're not monsters. They're not dropping a fucking Hot Wheels in there. Mm-hmm. But they dropped a whole bunch of spaghetti in there, which is still a choking hazard.
Yeah.
And I wake up and I'm like, and I'm trying to yell at them, but spaghetti's falling out of my mouth, which makes it way funnier for them.
Mm-hmm. My dad can do a smooth... Smooth fall asleep at 7:45 if he's just at home watching TV. And it's kind of like, I'm curious about when that starts to creep in. Because it doesn't matter how little sleep I've had or how tired I am, I have a tough time getting down before like midnight. You know what I mean?
Right.
I can have had 5 hours sleep and still just be like wired at 11:30 at night.
I reckon when you have kids, the amount that fucks up your sleeping habits fucks you up for the rest of your life.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's the impression that I get.
Yeah.
Because I've had fucked up sleeping. What is that?
The impression that I get.
Oh.
Would have been very strange not knowing what was going on there. I just hummed a little tune for literally no reason.
I thought you were trying to like train me, you know, the like Pavlov training. So if I say the word impression, suddenly I start salivating. Anyway, best fall asleep as a dad, Christmas Day, 11 a.m.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Presents open, little nap before lunch.
Yeah.
Wake up just to polish off the lunch, straight back out again.
I want to make that noise that goes.
Yeah.
Sorry for the ASMR, everybody.
It's because
sexy mouth reading.
It's the most content anyone can seem, right? It's just, they're content, so
but also like, at least with the dads of the generation that are our dads, there's something in the face that at least my dad and the dads I've seen have been, and I haven't seen every dad.
Sure.
No. I've never made that claim.
How many dads do you reckon you've seen?
Oh, boy. At the time, were they dads or dads to be?
I feel total? Like this is more one for the Patreon episode. If it's trying to work out how many dads Adam has
that's
seen.
That's true. That's true.
I'm going to say I've seen about a... seen about... 420,000 people.
Right.
Seen.
Yeah.
Over my life.
Sighted. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Out of them, about half would be male.
Sure.
So what's that? 210.
Yep.
And out of that, a bunch of kids.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a quarter of dads?
More
than a quarter.
I'd say a third, probably.
I'm going to go two-thirds.
Two-thirds?
I reckon 66% dads.
Wow.
Jeez.
Am I talking... Wait, no.
At the time.
Oh, at the time. Yeah. Oh, then about a third.
Yeah, I think... Yeah.
33% of 210. Figure out that number and you got yourself
60,
the answer.
70,000? 70,
nah, probably. Yeah. Who knows? There's no way of figuring that
70,
out.
70,000 dads.
Yeah.
That's a good number.
And out of those dads...
Yes.
Yep.
I forget my point.
So yeah, true.
It was going to be about whether you thought you liked the falling asleep in the chair idea because it was a sign of being content and relaxed.
Oh, that's right. Dads of that generation.
Yes.
Even if they look content, they're trying to mask it with fake anger, which was the sign of masculinity back in their day.
Right.
So every dad I've seen, even when they look like they're sleeping peacefully, furrowed brow.
They're frowning. Yeah.
Yep. Anyway,
I took my dad to a jazz concert recently and he fell asleep during that. And the band had two drummers.
That's not an age thing.
Going wild. And I was sitting there going, this is one of the loudest rooms I've ever been. And we were right near the speaker too. I was like, my worry was he would finding it uncomfortably loud.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I look over and he's just on the nod. I'm like, yeah, okay, no issue here.
What? Because you were going to say, Knox, that jazz is boring.
Yeah.
But if it was very loud... Sounds like it's kind
it was,
of funky jazz.
Do you know Kamasi Washington?
Yes, I do.
It was him. So it was like a lot of like kind of jamming, like not like kind of younger.
It's embarrassing
jazz.
That he accidentally booked two drummers for the same night. For one drummer, he's always wearing a mustache around them, going like, "All right, now follow my lead here." For the other one, he's like, "Okay, now this is actually blues in G. You got to go with me."
Any band with the two drummers is so mm-hmm. unnecessary, mm-hmm. but God, it's sick.
Was it? And They Know Us by the Trail of Dead was the first. Sort of big indie band that had two drummers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Speaking of completely unnecessary, there's an Age of Empires 4 being made. That's in mm-hmm. the news. Mm-hmm. It looks like... I liked the Age of Empires games back in the day, 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And never really played 3. 4 looks like a 3D version of 2.
Okay.
It's back to medieval. The first one was like ancient times. The second one was like medieval. Third one was New World America, North America. And then the fourth one, I remember there being a magazine ad years ago that like had those three. And then the fourth was like World War II and the fifth was like space.
Oh, right.
And they
yeah.
were like, this is the Age of Empires plant. But nope, four is medieval again, 3D looking.
What was, because I never played these, or maybe I played two a bit at a friend's house. Was Age of Mythology, were they expansions?
Age of Mythology was like a spin-off that came along later with like Greek Zeus shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Griffins. and the Age of Empires main series thing is like kind of a mix between like a Command and Conquer and a Civilization type of thing.
Yeah,
you were upgrading the era that you were in, so you go from this age to that age to that age,
mm-hmm.
Which would give you new units and stuff. And yeah, pretty standard sort of real time strategy game, but they were good ones. And this might. Good as well, but it's certainly not that exciting to me because it does seem like, especially when there was a like remastered edition of 2 that just came out.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And then this looks like a 3D version of that.
Right.
Kind of. So that was one of the XO19 announcements.
Yes.
Of which there were a fair few.
Mm.
And I'll get them up at some point.
All right.
Don't worry.
I'm freaking out.
I'm a little concerned.
I'm really
so
worried.
Fucking stressed. I'm the calm one all the time.
He's the dad of the group.
I never flip out about anything.
He never flips up about anything.
I flip out, I said. I said flip O-U-P.
My
if you're
apologies.
Gonna quote me derisively, do it correctly. I only bring up Age of Empires 4 first because it was like a segue, sort of.
Yes.
The big news, in my opinion, this week,
mm-hmm.
they announced a new Half-Life game.
Yes, they did.
That's fucking wild. I think... by the time this is out, there might be more stuff about it.
Right.
10 a.m. Pacific time Thursday is when it's happening.
Okay.
Oh, right. Yeah, probably right around the time this goes up.
Yeah.
Roughly, yeah.
But certainly before it's being recorded.
So, yeah, let's speculate wildly about something that everybody knows about.
So people are people are a bit angry about this, right? Because everyone has wanted a Half-Life Episode 3 or 3 for years. And this is a VR game.
Well, but we don't know the scope of it.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a big VR game. It points to it maybe being like a prequel to 2.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So 1.
I guess that would technically.
It could be 1.5.
Yeah, it'd be more like a 1.8 because there were like 2 expansions to 1 as well. But whatever
I love
it is.
I'm going to take this on board. Just saying to people, yeah, just watch the prequel to The Godfather Part 2 last night. Oh, yes. This is a real game changer for me.
You really see what happened to Robert De Niro's character. It's all topsy-turvy.
Any way that I can waste people's time in conversation, I'm all down for. Just confusing and annoying. Oh, yes.
Yeah, my prequel name is Tommy, regular name, Dasilo.
My secret name is the other one.
Exactly.
It's a VR game. It is called Half-Life Alyx.
Mm.
There was the rumor that Valve was making like 3, I think, VR games, and they were like full-size things.
Right.
So this will probably be a proper game.
Right.
I doubt this will be. It could be, but I doubt it will be like a 2-hour bullshit thing.
Is Oculus Valve's thing?
No.
What's Valve? They do have their own.
I think it's called. Oh, it's not Steam VR. They do have their own one. It's called something. It's like Index, I think, is what it's called.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And it's fucking expensive. But you can use this with like any of the VR.
Yeah,
things,
sure. Right. But yeah.
So yeah, not much to say about it just yet. We're currently recording at 7:38 p.m. Wednesday Pacific time.
Right.
So there's a fair few hours to go. But I'm really interested to see what it is because like, even if it's not like technically Half-Life 3, even Half-Life 3 wouldn't be the thing that was meant to happen, which was like Half-Life 2 Episode 3. So
right. Which is that thing that they released the plot of.
Yeah,
like a year ago. Remember the guy went through that.
Was it Laidlaw? Someone.
Yeah, one of the writers just kind of released the whole.
Yeah, and like changed the names a bit.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's cool. It points to them, you know, the fact that they're not completely done with it is a good thing.
Absolutely, yeah, and so, games in general. I think the consternation that I saw, and it's not how I feel. I think I'm just interested in it. People are like, "Oh, you." Yeah, all you do is release like, you know, cosmetic packs for Team Fortress and all that kind of stuff. And why didn't you actually put more resources into making this a single player, not VR game and stuff like that?
I mean, that is a very funny thing to be saying to them when they are literally doing something that's not the packs for Team Fortress. You know what I mean? Like
yeah,
the hats and shit.
Yeah.
It's also that
weird thing of like, well, you don't get to decide what any company does.
Right.
No.
You know, like they've made this. It might be good. It might be bad. But don't be like, why didn't you do something else entirely? Because their reason is their own reason.
That's people's biggest complaint with everything is like, why isn't this exactly the thing that I specifically want you to do?
Yeah. To be fair, it is also the thing that they specifically said they were going to do, which they didn't, and then didn't communicate to anyone about why.
Right.
So it's fair enough, I think, on some level to be like, hey, you set this thing up. You were making this and you said this was coming out. Then you didn't do it and you never said anything about it.
Right.
They have ignored it for more than a decade.
Yeah.
Which is strange. And like, yeah, it's cool to be getting something, but I do kind of understand why a lot of people have written Half-Life off as a whole thing.
Mm.
And then when it does show up again, it's almost like seeing the deadbeat dad who you kind of,
right.
You'd already come to terms with the fact that you weren't going to see him and that he was out of your life. And then he shows up again being like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
Can I crash on your couch? And you're like, fuck off, dad.
Yeah.
Fuck off, dad.
Throw some spaghetti at his mouth and tell him to piss off.
You're just going to fucking fall asleep on me again, dad.
Can I crash on your couch? Oh, what? So you can fall asleep on it?
No, thank you.
Like you've been asleep on Half-Life for the past decade.
Yeah. It's a crazy thing that Valve has become and that Half-Life has not gotten spoken about for so long by them. is so weird. A lot of the speculation is like, well, when they do Half-Life 3, they want it to be like a big thing that, that pushes stuff forward and they're afraid to do it and all this stuff. I don't think that's true. I think they have a strange management style there where it's all like this weird flat management and everyone can do what they want and
work
on stuff what they want. I don't think it works. And they've got no reason to do it. They've got this other business now, kind
of. That's what I was going to say. It's like they have an incredibly profitable business.
Yeah.
Why would they risk it?
The difference in what Steam was in 2007 to now is enormous. Mm. And I think if they could... they've got this VR thing, this Index thing, that they have an interest in getting out there. And what better way than to have a flagship title that is this big deal name?
Yes.
Is it still a big deal name, though? I don't know. Because it was 12 years ago.
It's not big enough to make me buy a $3,000 VR rig or whatever it is.
Fuck no.
So, yeah.
I think there's like a whole generation of people who missed the boat with Half-Life.
Totally.
And, yeah, I don't know. It's it might be too little too late for the idea of a Half-Life game as a whole, but I'm excited to see what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else from XO19? Did any of you watch anything from that?
No.
Cool. Well, let's not bother then. We'll just be describing things from... None of it was very interesting. Like, Rare announced a new game.
Oh, yeah, oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
Oh, look who's come crawling back.
Well, I forgot, okay?
I can't believe we fooled him, Ben. Yeah. We really managed to convince him that we hadn't watched it when... The truth is we watched the entire thing.
What's it called? Everglades or something?
Everwild?
Everwild, yeah. Sounds right.
It's like, it's going to be like EverQuest. Sure, it looks like an MMORPG.
The guy who created EverQuest died this week as well, which is a shame.
Sorry.
Good on you for bringing that up, Ben.
Yeah. It's my fault.
Me and Adam are trying to have fun over here.
What did we get?
Yeah, it looks... a lot of people have commented on the comparison to Breath of the Wild.
Right.
Kind of looks like it's a similar sort of vibe. I have to say, though, like, whatever the current team of Rare, I do not like their art style.
Their Sea of Thieves, this.
Yeah,
sort
the
of
character
stuff.
Designs look pretty yucky to me.
Yeah.
I like the way that this one looked. It's like, I understand what you mean. It's the same sort of art style as, like, those Dota kind of things. It looks a little. It's like.
It's a little. Yeah. It's just very generic and, like.
Sure.
Yeah, it looks like it. Looks like it was crapped out by a. By a program in, you know.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, take that.
Using the C word. Wowee. I wouldn't know.
I'm
going to
bring back crap. I don't use crap enough on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
This is my favorite word when I was like, what would I have been? 11 and loved The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Well,
saying crap, you sandwich the word crap in between Holy and Lois. You got yourself a funny goddamn character right there.
Well, it kind of felt like when you were a kid, it was like the swear word that you could kind of get away with using.
Yeah.
You would never get pulled up on it. If you went for shit, you were probably going to get pulled up on that. But crap, you were a pretty good chance of being able to sneak by the keeper.
Yep.
That's how much I was enjoying that little exchange. It came out of a yawn with it. Yeah, Everwild. I like the animation and stuff. It's not clear what it is.
Yep.
But the trailer made it look like another sort of multiplayer thing to me because there was like little groups of people walking around this world.
Yeah. Right.
They said some more stuff about Project X Cloud, which is their streaming service thing.
Yeah, some of our peeps have got on the beta, I believe.
Sure.
It's already gone out. It's like Stadia.
Which launched this week, kind of. None of us are the least bit interested in going in on it, and I don't think even have access to it in Australia right now.
No, we don't.
Yeah.
No.
So you're not going to get first-hand stuff from us. But second-hand, it sounds bad.
Yeah.
It sounds like a whole bunch of crap.
Adam, language.
What? No, I said cap. I said data caps, which they seem to be ignoring.
We got an email from someone about it who's been playing it.
Yeah.
And he said...
This is from Jonathan Google. So it's glowing.
Yeah.
What's he saying? Once every few minutes, the stream pauses, then continues. It lasts for a fraction of a second, but it's annoying. I don't know if it's my laptop or internet connection or router, but it does happen. The game selection isn't great. I'm not going to pay $10 per month for it. It's too expensive for what I'm getting.
Yeah, right.
So it sounds like it's... Yeah.
From all the reviews that I've seen of it, it sounds like it doesn't work well.
Mm-hmm.
Games aren't very playable.
Yeah.
So what the fuck's the point?
I think all I've seen is like a GIF of someone showing the lag time of like hitting the button
right.
and something moving a full second after they yeah. press it.
It's not going to happen. Like
it's not happening.
If this is Google's infrastructure, yeah. and it'll probably get better. It's, you know... It,
that's such a bitchy tech report. It's not going to happen.
What's up? It's Tech Bitch here. Those sluts at Google have fucked up again. But it just sounds like there's no point to it. Like
unless everyone's internet is perfect with zero lag and zero latency.
Which it does. It, even if you've got great internet there, yeah. it still sounds That's like it. It's lagging on their yeah. end.
It's yeah. hard to imagine anyone getting this as their primary source mm-hmm. of playing games. That's mm. the thing. It's like you're going to get it out of curiosity, like maybe you already own like a Switch or an Xbox or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But there's no one who's like, you know what? I've always wanted to play video games. And now that my favorite company, Google, have yes. gotten in on the act, I'm exclusively brand loyal to them.
Yeah.
Finally, I can dive in.
Yeah.
I used to enjoy video games when I was a child, but as I grew up, I got more into data collection. Now that I can combine the two, yeah, it's...
You should be able to, on Stadia, you should be able to play all the weird little games that Google have put into their logo over the years. You know, every now and then they've had like a little ice hockey yes. game or whatever
like
it
Pac-Man's
is.
Pac-Man's birthday or yeah. something. Yeah.
Pac-Man's birthday. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be cool. The Google homepage collection exclusively on Stadia. That would be great if that's their one exclusive. That's their big get.
It's face and password match, the game. Take a photo of your face and type in all of your passwords and we'll give you, I don't know, 70 points.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck that company in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And fuck that service. It doesn't sound great. So
yep.
It has to be your only thing for it to make financial sense for you.
Mm.
Like it really doesn't make sense to own another console. And if it yeah. just doesn't, if it's unreliable, it's a service that is not worth paying for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe they could fix it hypothetically, but if people aren't getting on board with it in the first X amount of time, whatever it is they give it, a year yeah. or two, I can't see this lasting very long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really get the appeal personally of streaming games. The play from anywhere thing is a cool edge case for it.
Yeah.
But how often really are enough people in a hotel with good enough Wi-Fi to want that? Or how often are you on a plane? Like, it really, it's not that big of a deal.
I think the selling point is that you don't have to have a good PC, right?
I guess.
Yeah.
And you don't have to keep changing consoles every generation. So it's relying on someone wanting it for 10 years. And for that to pay off, to be like, oh, I didn't have to own a PC. I didn't have to shell out $3,000 or... I didn't have to get a PS4 and a PS5.
Or being so lightly invested in games that they haven't gone in on anything, but they're like, oh, I'd play Assassin's Creed, I guess.
Mm.
But what fucking person is out there who just wants to play one Assassin's Creed game yeah. and hasn't bought a play? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the idea of that being able to play anywhere, I mean, we talked about this when it got announced. Mm. Like, I love the concept of the Switch. You know, it's been great with travel and everything. I really get into that side of it. But this isn't that. You can't play it on a plane. And like you said, you don't know where you're going to be staying. You don't know what the internet's going to be like. Mm. So you may well get there. It's like, cool, I get to pick this up from where I left off at home. Oh, I can't play it because this internet in the hotel is too shit.
If people are invested in games enough to pay $60, whatever, US for a game.
Mm-hmm.
So say it's Assassin's Creed because that's just one of the ones that's on there.
Mm-hmm.
They more than likely have already either bought a PS4 or... are going to want to play the game at their house or something.
Right.
I don't think that idea of
yeah.
the traveling fucking hotel vagrant gamer,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? I don't yes. think it exists.
Yeah,
and
using
if it
their,
does,
all their travel sim data on right. one fucking session.
And if the person who is doing that wants to play a game and they're, again, not investing in games enough that they don't own a console,
mm-hmm.
then you're competing with phones.
Yes,
everyone's already fucking got a phone.
Apple Arcade,
exactly.
at the very least, yeah.
And I just don't think having a fucking, you know, Tomb Raider fucking 1, the prequel to Rise of the Tomb Raider,
yes.
I don't think there's any case to be made for that. I don't get it.
Yeah.
That is funny, the idea of, like, if this took off, this way of, you know, consuming games really took off. Just the idea of like Airbnb Wi-Fi is just getting absolutely slammed yeah. by people taking down some gigantic Tomb Raider set. Like, just that pocket, you're in Japan, just like the pocket Wi-Fi, just getting an absolute smashing.
Fuck.
Like, the person who's like renting the place out, getting their internet bill, like, fucking hell, what happened here?
I got to shut down. Yeah. I can't do it.
I had a person in there for 2 days and they bankrupted me.
Yeah.
There's no reason that hypothetically one day the internet wouldn't be good enough to be able to play Assassin's Creed again on an internet connection, but in the next generation of consoles, even, it looks like they're moving further towards SSDs being just the normal thing.
Yes.
Yep.
High data moving fast.
That's it, yeah.
So the internet infrastructure will never be able to keep up with what a modern game is.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess you're just moving video and inputs over the internet stream, so it doesn't really matter.
It's not like you're literally streaming the 30 gig of...
That's true. I guess that doesn't fucking matter. Yeah, but then it's
closer to streaming like 4K video or something like that.
It is, but then with inputs happening really quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I guess they could do, but they just haven't yet.
Yeah.
And it's bad to come out of the gate looking like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have problems with Netflix in my house every now and then.
Yeah.
Streaming video on that. That's not even 4K.
Yeah. Well, the ultimate way to stream a game is to play it on a console.
Yeah, stream it from the disc. Or the install through the console.
Through the CPU.
Into your eyes. Yeah, I stream it directly
to your TV,
into my brain.
I go to the TV first. I'm old-fashioned.
Right. No,
I haven't hit like directly jacked in yet.
I'm high-tech. I cram my head inside the disc drive of the PS4.
Wow.
And I just look around at what's going on in there.
All the transistors and shit.
Yeah, it looks like the Matrix in there.
Yeah.
Like Flat Stanley.
Yeah.
Just insert yourself.
Just jam my head. I'm like, there he is. There's Nathan. Oh, he's fallen.
That's like if the Far Side was still being done, that would be...
Yes.
You know, there's that one of like opening the car radio and it's like a tiny little band in there playing.
Oh,
Gary
yeah.
Larson would be having a crack at gaming, yeah. I reckon.
He's coming back.
Is he?
He's bringing the Far Side back.
He's back in
right.
a big
I knew
way.
He'd launched a website, but I thought that was just like a catalogue of all the old ones.
Dude, if you want to see what those fucking chickens do now that they've got smartphones,
oh, God.
You're in luck.
Uh-oh.
I don't think it's going to be anything on the wall. It is still possible to play. I was going to talk about a different game, but let's talk about this one. Play... you know, your fucking travel games. You've been doing that, you two.
Travel games?
Moving around, holding your PlayStations in front of your faces.
Oh, yeah, our Nintendo PlayStations.
Yeah, yeah, you've been holding your fucking...
I think Dad's about to fall asleep over there.
I think he already has.
Walking around holding your PlayStations.
Do you want us to talk about Pokemon Sword and or Shield?
I'm going to rest over here.
Okay.
All right. You have been talking a lot.
Yeah, sorry.
No, like I'm
no, it's good.
You held up the whole podcast.
I'm gonna go
for about
shops.
40 minutes.
Go down the shops.
You going down the shops?
Yeah, I'll be back, kids. Don't worry.
All right.
Oh, he's coming
to get
back.
A pack of cigarettes or something?
Yeah.
Do you say?
No, I'm gonna get new kids. I mean, shit.
That's a Freudian slip there.
Yeah, Pokemon Sword and Shield is out.
Which one did you get?
I got Shield.
I got Sword.
Oh. Now this is classic.
The original odd couple.
This is classic radio.
when I can be find any time to play it,
yes.
I'm a Shield boy too. So
really?
We're coming for you.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the unique Pokemons on the Sword better. It's like far-fetched and ones like that.
Right.
It's
oh,
like
really?
A Fox one or something.
Oh,
yeah,
damn,
yeah.
I didn't even look into that.
There's a couple. It's not just the legendary. There was a couple.
Ah, damn.
It's like six maybe?
Yeah. That British Far-Fetched?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Like Sir Far-Fetched or something.
God damn.
Yeah.
I regret not getting that one now.
Oh, well. You can take it back.
As a quick side note, I think the box art for this game is truly hideous.
I haven't really looked
at it. It's just dull. It's just like a very plain... It looks like fan art. It looks like a mock-up.
A testament to how dull it is that I didn't even notice what it was.
Same as most Pokemon games. They just have the legendary Pokemon from it on the cover just going like... Bleh.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's often still... There's like a bit of a background. There's like a bit of... Anyway, whatever.
Bit of colour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Red, blue, something like that. Mm-hmm.
Gold.
What?
Okay.
Like a ruby.
So we haven't really...
Pikachu yellow.
These are blue and pink, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in the weeks leading up to this, there was... Yeah, we talked a little bit about the National Pokédex not being included. Mm-hmm. And then there was a whole thing where people were like review bombing Game Freak when Little Town Hero came out.
Yes.
And they'd been getting a lot of hate. And then there was a whole thing on Twitter of like people doing thank you Game Freak, just trying to restore the balance,
mm-hmm.
get a bit more positivity in there. Because, yeah, this has had, I think it's fair to say a pretty disastrous rollout, at least from a PR sense.
Absolutely.
Things,
I was going to say,
things leaking and people just not like people just not being happy at any turn of what they've announced with this.
It's certainly a rocky launch. Not smooth. Like, not necessarily all bad, just like not the way they would have planned it.
Like a Rocky 5.
Yeah,
I get it.
Which I would say that now that it's out, none of that stuff really matters.
Yeah, like as soon as the reviews started coming out and they were all good, it was like, oh, okay, I guess.
Well, the people that care the most about it, you know, that get on Reddit or whatever it is and go, we're all going to fucking boycott this and fuck you, Game Freak, and whatever. But the truth of the matter is like, the franchise is big enough that it really doesn't matter if, you know, some people on a message board decide that they're going to boycott it.
Yeah.
This thing's going to be a huge seller.
Yes.
Regardless.
A lot of our fans, like a lot of our listeners were saying in our group, like, I think the boys are going a bit hard on Pokemon here. I either like it and I'm going to get it and it'll be fun, or I don't really mind that much.
Yeah, it's interesting. People didn't really get the... It feels like this happens a bit with, like, people get really hung up on, like, all the pre-release stuff and stuff leaking. And then once something's out, you realize how little that truly matters. Mm. Like, now that it's out, people just, yeah, people who want to get it have got it and are having a good time with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like all that stuff really does fade into the background pretty quickly.
Not that it necessarily should, though. Like, people have really easily put the Pokemon that they've cut into the game just by using the 3DS models, which is what a lot of these ones are.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
That what, sorry?
So a lot of the Pokemon that are still in this
from
the older games are just the models from the 3DS.
They've just yeah.
And people have easily modded this game.
Oh, they've modded it right.
To
okay.
To put the missing Pokemon in.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't like it. It is selling incredibly well and all that sort of shit. But I don't think people are necessarily over it or whatever. And neither should they necessarily be. I do think it's.
I'm just talking more about, like, I guess from where we sit when, you know, we're reading about, like, the news of it and talking about it on this thing, and it seems like it's this big thing that could potentially sink the game, because people like to be very dramatic when they talk about this stuff.
Oh, it's not even anything
when
to
they're
do
upset.
With but sinking then the game, though.
Once it's out, you just go. You know, you realize that the people that are getting most up in arms about it and then the game-buying public are two completely different things.
Sure. Yeah.
Sure. But
people
that,
at large.
It's always a noisy minority in these cases, I think.
Yeah.
It's just, I guess it's whether you define the success of this to be in how it sells, which obviously is a metric for it, or in, like, if you can say, this is kind of shitty about it and the development of it is kind of has some shitty practices to it, that's still part of it. I'm going to sneeze, so continue.
Well, I guess also too, like, then the reviews start dropping and it's mostly positive.
Told you.
Yeah.
Bless you.
Fuck up.
So anyway, what are you thinking of it so far?
I really like it a lot.
Yeah.
It's really charmingly designed and made. Like, all of the maps, the interfaces, the music is great. It's a classic Pokemon game. There's not a lot going on with the story.
Yeah, I think we were all a bit, like, miffed when it was revealed that we kind of thought, oh, maybe they'll do a big, you know, this could potentially, there could be a bit of a shift coming.
Mm-hmm.
And, seeing it come along along the line and all the stuff they were showing of it, it's like, oh, no, they're really playing it safe with this one. And it really does stick to the formula.
Yes.
But I think it is just about the best example you could have of a Pokemon. You know, it's doing it very well.
That's the
thing.
It's
not shaking it up, but at least it is putting it in the nicest possible package that you can have it in.
I think it's the best Pokemon game that I've played. It looks great. Like, that core gameplay thing hasn't changed for 20 years, but it doesn't have to. It's a turn-based JRPG, and they've just nailed it.
And and the other thing is, I mean, the big change in it from previous Pokemon games is something that they've taken from Let's Go Pikachu last year, which is the no random battles in the wild. You can see the Pokemon moving around the map, so you can make the decision to be like, oh, cool, there's one I don't have yet. Mm-hmm. I'll go over there. Which it's kind of almost a shame that, you know, that they had put that into Let's Go first, because it's just like, oh, yeah, they're reusing that thing they did in that. So they're kind of not getting the credit for that is a shake-up.
Like, I honestly forgot that. I mean, like, obviously I knew that it wasn't a thing in all the preceding ones, but yeah, you're right. I kind of just took it for granted almost.
Yeah.
And it does work really, really well. Like,
I reckon it makes it so much better.
There's other, like, when Final Fantasy started doing that as well, like, other franchises like this took away random battles.
Yep.
It is a big improvement.
That used to be my least favorite part of this type of game.
Yeah.
It's kind of wandering around, then just all of a sudden, da!
Yeah.
You're in a bat. And like, and also like fighting the same kind of enemy again and again and again and again and again.
That's
the
main
thing. There is a lot of
variety
in this one very early on.
I think I'm enjoying the collect-a-thon, catch-em-all aspect of this more than any previous Pokemon game because I know what I've got and I know which one that is.
Yep.
And I can avoid them or not.
Now, what if I were to tell you that you weren't going to be able to catch them all?
I mean, I can catch them all that are in the game.
What if I told you they weren't all in the game?
Well, what do you mean they aren't all in the game? The ones that are in the game are all in it.
I'm going to send you a forum link really soon.
even 400 that, is too many already.
Yeah. Even that, once I'm in the game, it's like, yeah, I don't really care about what's not here.
Mm.
And that's not to say that no one should care, and I know that that does matter really deeply to some people, but it's like once you turn the game on and you're just playing it, it's I don't know. Mm. I agree with you. Like, there's a lot in there. Like,
yeah.
And also, I'd kind of much rather just have I've got a whole bunch of new ones to find that I've never seen before.
Yes.
That's what's exciting.
I don't know why, but I was out on like every generation of Pokemon after the first. And I just thought all the designs, the new design, the quote unquote new designs, because like the first ones were new when they were new, were dumb. I just was like, oh, why? How can I care about any of these? They're not Charmander.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And now I'm just like, hey, cool. They're all new. They look great. Like, it's a really well designed game. The graphics are, you know, they're not incredibly sharp, but it's a cute style. I'm into it.
Yeah, the art direction's good. I like the color palettes in the town and everything like that.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing I would have really liked to see them shake up is that the battles, like, aesthetically, in spite of being, you know, obviously, like, more powerful graphics, they do still look so similar in how they play out to how they did on the Game Boy game.
Mm.
So, like, you know, you do tackle and it's like your guy just move slightly, and then the guy on the other side of the screen just gets bumped. It's like, in 2019, I think it's probably, I think, fair to think that that is a bit weak. It's like, give us some actual animations of them interacting and actually touching each other, you know, actually looking like they're fighting instead of this, like, hands-off, like, you know, simulated. That is the bit that kind of... that's probably the bit to me that feels like is showing its age the most.
That is not something I have even thought about.
Right.
I guess I just don't mind.
Yeah.
There are. If you had to justify it, there is a lot about the game in terms of sort of interfaces and stuff that are specifically or deliberately throwbacks. There's a lot of icons that are 16-bit.
Yeah.
There's a lot of sound effects, obviously.
That's another thing that they've kept over from the Let's Go games.
Yes.
The, like, Game Boy-esque sound effects.
Which I know it's in, was it Dragon Quest XI? A lot of icons.
Yeah.
Specifically old school.
Yeah.
Obviously the music in some of the releases was old style as well.
Yep.
It's becoming a bit of a thing. I don't know if I like it or dislike it. It is certainly becoming a bit of a trope, though.
It depends how it's used. I think it works in this because you have when you go into, like, your Pokédex and it'll be, like, a little 16-bit sprite of the Pokémon. I think it kind of works aesthetically for that as a design choice because you can go, you've opened this machine and it kind of, like, it makes sense within the context of the world. Like, you would have this little dinky machine that would, you know, you're, like, looking, your Pokédex is, like, a little Game Boy. Like, it kind of works in that sense. But I do see, I get what you're saying. Like, you can see it very easily being a thing that is all of a sudden just like, without really a good need for it or whatever.
Yeah.
In everything.
I guess it's the same as like Madden and stuff like that, where there's going to be a set of people who are happy to have a good iteration of the thing that they like.
Mm.
And there's a set of people for whom the iterative nature of it in itself is enough to turn them away from it.
Yeah.
Go like, hey, make this something new and different.
Yeah.
This is the same thing again. It does seem like they quite lazily rest on their laurels with this series sometimes.
I think that's fair. Yeah.
You got a couple of artists scribbling out 150 of them every other year or whatever. And not that that's easy work, you know. It's hard to draw Pokemon, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Lord knows I had to trace them back in the day.
Yes.
But it's not exciting.
That's
part of the reason I didn't get around to play. I was playing another game is why, but there's just There's not a hook unless you're already hooked.
So yeah, I mentioned before, like, the combat is, like, I think great.
Right.
But it's very, very old fashioned.
Yeah.
And I guess they haven't attempted anything new with it. There are franchises that started as turn based and became real time action games, and this is not one of them.
Mm.
Now, is that good because it's great combat, and it's, you know, it's familiar, and it's a tried and true staple of the series, or is it cowardly to not be risking?
Or boring, because if you played like Sun and Moon or whichever one it was, right? But before that had checked out for ages. Yep. So like, if you really like this series, maybe you've played that every year for 20 years.
Yeah.
And want more out of it, you know? And it is then at that point like, well, why do you keep playing them? But
it's hard to know where it comes from with them as a company, like whether it is like laziness or whatever. But like, I don't think you can underestimate the fact that, like, it's one of the biggest franchises in the world, not just of a video game, but of a cross-platform thing.
Yeah.
So the stakes are so high for them. So I can kind of understand them being very cautious about, like, we can't risk it. We can't rock the boat with this. As much as, like, we would have talked about it on the show before this got revealed, like, hey, imagine, like, Breath of the Wild, but with Pokemon. Imagine if they just really changed up the game, how exciting and great they could be. And then I think after they announced this, I kind of just realized, I just don't think that's ever going to happen. Right. I just don't think they're ever going to be in a position where they feel like they can afford to take that kind of risk, that kind of artistic leap with something that is just such a massive, like, commercial thing for them. Just such a
one change of leadership position away from happening, though. Because, like, look at stuff that is kind of a weird risk, like Detective Pikachu and whatever.
Yeah.
That's not them, but you know what I mean? Like, people are okay with weird shit happening and would be with this. Like, you can keep the core of what the game actually is, which is fight and collect Pokemon.
Yeah, true.
It doesn't really matter the specifics of how that happens. Mm-hmm. I don't think people are necessarily there for that particular type of combat.
Right.
As long as it's measure up these Pokemon's attacks against each other or whatever, it probably can change and probably should at this point because, like I said, I still haven't played it, but if it's the same thing, I want to do that again. I am interested in playing this.
It's a good version of it.
Yeah.
But so here's
it's hollow in some way. You know
here's
what I mean?
My CEO hat. My CEO hat is on. And here is my explanation of why the combat hasn't changed. Thank you very much.
Okay.
6-year-olds have to be able to play this game.
Sure.
A child can play turn-based combat.
You are the child enjoyment officer. You're wearing the hat, so.
Now, let's be clear on what that role entails.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm going to pass you on to my boss, Prince Andrew, and he's going to explain.
I'm physically incapable of playing Pokemon.
I really let the side down, which is Pikachu, Charmander. I've got a Magikarp and I'm trying to raise the level up in there.
That's my explanation. That is one of the few ways you can guarantee a child can play Pokemon. It's keeping
kids
that
can
combat.
Do more stuff than just that type of combat, though. Maybe they could change, like they could, or have the same combat, but in a you're right. These are games for kids.
Yeah,
and it's the same argument at some point that I'm sort of making of like, why isn't this different and growing with me and evolving? Same reason Star Wars isn't for me anymore because it's for kids.
And then we've been spoiled.
Right.
With Zelda. Because they did it and it's the best game maybe ever.
Yeah.
And, you know, some franchises do that. They, for whatever reason, feel that it's important to the I think Mario is another good example. Like, it's those games started out as these very, like, innovative games that kind of changed the course of things. And so it's so in the DNA of those franchises to be evolving and kind of leading the way.
Yeah.
You know, some, and in all forms of art, some people do that. Some people lead the way. Other things are just like, no, we're just here doing our thing. And we, you know, because also that's what people like about the franchise of Pokemon is that they battle and they collect these monsters. People aren't, like, you know what's great about getting a new Pokemon game is that it absolutely reinvents the wheel.
Right.
Like, I think they just know that that's not a thing that people have ever turned to that franchise for. And they also probably are very aware that I think that would be a franchise where perhaps more than any other, the sheer volume of people for whom each new game is their first time playing that.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of diehards, but there would be so many new people coming to it because it is such a big like cultural phenomenon. Mm-hmm.
Kids who were born on the day the first Pokemon game came out would have kids who were playing this now.
Right.
That's the amount of time that's passed.
Totally.
That's fucking
so
wild.
It's insane.
So just them going like, yeah, we just put a fancy coat of paint on the old skeleton. Mm. It's timeless. People still like it. People are still drawn to it. There's still something about it. We're just kind of re-upping for every like new group of people that have come along that have never played one before. We got to make it look shiny so it appeals to their modern sensibilities. Mm-hmm. And also for people who've been around a long time, hey, there's, you know, 150 of these new things to find, a new little challenge, and it works the way that you expect it to work. And I have found that very comforting. Like this week, having been very busy working on a lot of stuff, just being able to like pick it up and just know exactly what I'm in for.
Yes.
I just found that very comforting. It's like, yes, this story in very loose sense of the term is horseshit. Like I will say the very beginning of it, God, it's a slog.
Yes,
like
it
just
is.
Very stop starty. Like,
yeah.
Oh, now go back and tell your mum that you're going off to the new
yes.
town. It's like,
here's
fuck
the professor.
All of that stuff. Yeah. I was just like, I just want to get this out of the way so I can start playing it to actually talk about the mechanics of it on the pod.
Yeah.
But then you're at, like, being in the wild area is cool.
It's
like,
cool.
That's the big shake-up thing that they've sort of said, hey, this is the big new thing. There's one area where you can move the camera around. But even that, the way the towns are designed, once you're in those towns, they're designed in such a way that it doesn't matter that you can't move the camera
around. No, I've not had
you
an
just
issue
walk
with that
up
at
the
all.
Street and then you're in the shop.
Because there's nothing in them, right?
Yeah.
So
yes. Basically, the second town you go to, they clone and mirror like the two shops, basically.
Weird.
So it's like you could have maybe put a bit more effort into detailing the static towns that there are there, of which there's, I don't know, like 7 or 8 or something. But,
yep.
I mean, if you think of this as Nintendo's FIFA.
Sure.
Yeah, every year they're putting out a new one. Like, of course, soccer is the same.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, we've made some parts of it worse. See you next year.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I like the new designs.
Mm-hmm.
I like the world. I like the fucking absolutely crowbarred-in British dialogue.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's not very good.
Rough stuff. I mean, there are a couple of things. It's weird that when there's like quote unquote cutscenes and people talk, there's just text and then nothing.
Yes.
Not that I expect voice acting, but not even a blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
Like it's weird that there's just so that kind of sticks out to me as a little like, because the UI is all great, the presentation of like the little the menus, the little sound effects within menus, all that is so cohesive and believable, and your little Pokedex jumping up on the screen when you catch a new one and it being filled out like. Is just, again, it's like, I think I said this when the Let's Go games came out, playing them on the Game Boy and having to do so much, like, in
the
your head of, like,
yeah,
fleshing it out. And that being in, you know, knowing that there'd one day be a day where it's just there on the screen for you in, like, you know, clear, like, looking as realistic as it can be for that world, is sick.
Yeah.
It really scratches that itch of, like, you know, thinking back to yourself as a 12-year-old, like, yeah, this is fucking cool.
Yes. Yeah, I genuinely think this is the best Pokemon game that I've played. It's you're right, the logical evolution of what it is.
Yeah.
You know another world I wanted to explore as a kid?
Yes.
The world beyond the stars in a galaxy.
When would that have been?
Not recently.
Oh, yeah. Would in have the been future?
Other direction, mate.
Oh,
a
sideways.
Long time ago. And do you know where?
Nearby?
Down the shops?
No. Couldn't be further.
Where Dad's gone?
So it's in another galaxy.
So where Dad's
not
gone?
Yeah. Not even a nearby galaxy. And not even a faraway galaxy.
Okay.
It's far, far away.
Okay.
It's so weird that that's the very opening of those movies and people are like, it's weird that George Lucas can't write better.
People don't realize that those are for fucking kids as well.
Yeah.
Well, just be careful. Those are for kids. Watch your language.
Sorry, Prince.
That's not just setting the scene. That's a mission statement of the quality of the writing.
Yes.
In this essay, I intend to furthermore prove that, oh, God, this is going to be a boring fucking...
The definition of man-child is...
I've been playing... Well, okay, the definition of man-child is, this week I have completed the game Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. You've been playing it as well, Ben?
Yeah, I've played heaps of it. I've been playing it today.
Yep.
I'm about... Well, I've got four or five planets, and I've had to go to two of them twice, I think.
Sure, just you're quickly, getting towards the end.
Right, then. Fuck, okay.
I love how much of a man of extremes you are, Nox. It's either, when we're on this pod, it's either like, man, I've been working a lot this week, I haven't had time to play anything, or it's like, I completed three games.
Yeah, I know.
There's barely ever any weeks where you're like, I don't know, I've played like a couple of hours. It's like, yeah. I haven't touched it, or I sat up all night and finished this 100-hour game.
Which I didn't like.
I don't really like Star Wars Jedi.
I know you don't. Yeah. Yeah. It's like we've talked about it a bit, and like a lot of people have been making the comparisons. It's basically Tomb Raider with a lightsaber.
There are literally tombs in this Star Wars game.
And you do some raiding when you're in there?
Absolutely.
You're not leaving them alone.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that much.
There were tombs in the Knights of the Old Republic games, which I guess is their excuse of like, this is in universe. We're not just ripping off Tomb Raider.
It's all Jedi shit or like ancient civilization shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is the gameplay style of the modern Tomb Raider games.
Pretty much. It's like a little bit, it's not Dark Souls at all. It's like third person combat, but it's like behind the back directly, which is kind of like Dark Souls. But it's third person combat exclusively with your lightsaber.
Well, I was talking to a friend of the show, Wolf J. You know, Wolf J. And they've been playing a lot of Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Right. And they made the comparison to that because
it is similar to
it's
that.
It's much more similar to that. Yeah.
It's pretty boilerplate action game,
in
this
that,
whole thing.
As a melee game, it's not as well made as the Dark Souls games.
Nowhere near. It's not bad.
It's not awful.
There's an okay variety of enemies that you fight. Mm-hmm. There's like a decent sort of pace to it. There's a good, as you go through the game, feeling of getting better and better.
Yes.
At it. They start throwing more and more stormtroopers and shit at you, and you're really able to slice them all down like a fast, good Jedi.
Yes. Yeah. That build-up of powers, it's actually quite slow.
Yeah. Like
you really only start
the
off
game's
with
long.
Like one. It, yeah.
I reckon I did like most of the exploration of the planet. So let's go back from the start.
Yes.
It's
a long time ago.
Third person action game, you're going through, people have compared it to like Metroid and shit. It's nothing like that. Again, it's Tomb Raider, where there's these sort of open, smallish areas that there's little bullshit crates to find in.
Yep.
And you're going through on like a medium story, medium low story.
I'd say low, really. Like even for Star Wars, it's pretty, I don't like the protagonist.
Right.
He's just bland and uninteresting.
Let's play, see if you can remember bullshit Star Wars name.
Oh, Cal Kestis.
You've nailed it. Yeah. You've got Cal Kestis.
I almost
right.
said Cal Cresto.
He's the one.
More fun.
The rest of them? No chance.
No, absolutely not. No.
But there's so many characters you meet with names like, it's Bliggs Morgan.
Yeah.
Well, not Morgan. That's just a regular name.
That'd be great.
Morgo.
Captain Morgan. Yeah. Yeah. Bliggs Morgo and Griff Bansai.
Yeah. It's Spliss Mork. I hate Star Wars
Robin
names.
Williams.
I fucking really don't like Star Wars names
so
for some
dumb.
Reason.
They're really, really dumb.
I'm Megus Graft.
Yes, that's a sick
you've
one.
You've got Grease something. He's your captain.
And like, I don't remember the other, the woman.
Wacky band of characters on your ship. You go from planet to planet.
Which I think him specifically, the pilot guy.
Yeah.
Shit. He's like Rocket Raccoon, but with no personality.
I like him.
He's
like an old gambler man.
To me, he symbolizes what's bad about this game of
right.
like, we recognize what entertaining character is, and we don't quite know how to write that, so we'll just do a facsimile of it and hope people just get by on the tropes.
Mm-hmm. And the design of the character is a lot better than the character itself, and it looks like they worked backwards from the drawing, maybe.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But the story within the last sort of 2-3 hours gets better.
Right.
It wraps up well.
Right.
I
okay.
think. Still, you know, Star Wars level well.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But it's enjoyable enough to throw yourself into.
I do like the fact that like the gameplay is very Tomb Raider-y means the story gets out of the way for a lot of it.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's just like a cutscene and then you're at a planet and it's a big, relatively big, crisscrossing series of pathways and climbing things. It's a lot of it Uncharted style climbing and the controls for fucking swinging on the ropes. It's killing me.
Right.
I find a lot of the controls really imprecise.
That's interesting. I haven't really found that.
But we're playing on different consoles.
Which I don't think makes a big difference with this game.
It shouldn't.
Yeah.
Like, actually, because like you said it was pretty buggy on the Xbox.
So I looked this up. It seems kind of random whether right. this is happening to people across everything on the PC as well.
Mm-hmm.
Or not random, but it's like it's bugs and shit. So it's hard to predict what's going to cause it.
Sure.
But I was having pretty serious shit and the whole way through the game.
Right.
That I'm surprised you say you haven't run into.
I've run into a bit now.
Okay.
I actually had a crash.
Yep. I had a hard lock right at the end.
I had it not
making that noise.
And not initially in a bad spot. I just saved.
Yeah.
Second time it happened, just towards the end of a very long and difficult section.
Right.
That really fucked me off.
Yeah.
And then I've had a couple more sort of like killing an enemy and then all the pixels sort of split off.
Right.
And refracted like something's clearly gone wrong.
People fly away. The world doesn't load in if you land on a new planet sometimes, especially in cutscenes. Oh, not even just in cutscenes, all over the place. Someone will... In cutscenes, it happens, for example, when the camera angle changes,
mm-hmm.
and there'll be a character just kind of like T-posing, and then they'll go back and they'll snap in.
Right.
And like things jumping in like that, mm-hmm. Level of detail stuff, and then in the distance, seeing stormtroopers in the T, and then they snap in.
Right.
And then the AI is fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Even when it's working, it's not great. It's just pretty standard. Run at you, take a shot, blah, blah, blah.
Often I'll find you'll go into a room and there'll be heaps of enemies. Some of them will fight each other.
Yeah.
And then you just step outside the doorway and you just wait for them to kill each other.
And if you step outside that doorway and they've noticed you, half the time they just turn off.
Yeah, exactly.
They turn
yes.
off and walk around.
Yes. Yeah.
They leave. And even when it's working, yeah, it's just like there's a lot of sections of people shooting at you from high up and you're just fucking waiting for them to like stand there and go like, get out of here, Jedi!
Yes.
And then they move left and right for a bit and take a shot and you shoot them. It's like real yeah. fucking PS1 shit.
Yeah,
There's something about it, though, that is Moore-ish.
Absolutely. It's the same way I feel about the Tomb Raider games, but yeah. with, I think, a more interesting aesthetic.
It looks great when it's working.
Yes, it does.
The Star Wars stuff has done really well and really not over the top.
Yeah.
Which is crazy for a thing where it's all lightsabers and stormtroopers and shit.
I was going to say, the scope of some scenes, like you see these, and it's the, you know, some of the best stuff about the movies is these giant ships
yeah.
contrasted with a person.
Yeah.
And it's done subtly somehow. It's not done in a shitty way.
I think it's because they're not overusing the musical stings.
Sure. Yeah.
Most of it is its own original score and you get the occasional like little force theme and whatever.
Yeah.
But a lot of it is original music for this game.
And I like it.
Yeah,
there's
it's good.
Some actual songs as well. There's one, there's actually like a bit that he calls out.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I recognize this song.
Yeah.
And it's a good song. It's an interesting way to start the game as well.
All those like Star Wars holograms
yep.
look nice.
Yep.
The character designs are good. The new enemy type that they've made for this game mm-hmm. looks really good.
Yeah.
I think they're new for this. Those Purge Troopers, they might exist in comics or something.
Or in like the Force Unleashed maybe.
Because the story is kind of you're like this, you were a Jedi, they got purged by the Empire when it like started.
Yeah, this is after episode 3.
In between 3 and 4, right?
Before 4, yeah. So after the prequels, before the originals.
Yeah. You're like hiding out, you get embroiled in a, you know, you get, hey, we got to bring the Jedi back, but yeah. there's like Jedi hunters after you.
Yeah.
And you try to get a Jedi bullshit thing that is the reason for going to all these planets.
Yeah, a Force MacGuffin.
Exactly. But it's nice. It's the little bits of Star Wars-y shit they do use.
Mm.
And there, you know, there's some stuff from the movies that will show up in some capacity. Either as a wink or a full-on punch in the face occasionally.
The character from a recent film that plays a large role in one of the sections?
There's...
In one of the other... like side movies?
Yeah. There, well...
Is not... I don't like.
There's... I'm not sure which bit you're talking about.
Okay.
Because no, we can't spoil this. It's just come out.
Yeah.
But
there's a character on Kashyyyk and he's a... He's a guerrilla fighter.
Sure, right.
And I don't like that character. I didn't like him in the movie that he was in.
Oh, well, he was in the trailers and shit. Forrest Whitaker is in this game. Yeah. He was in the trailers.
He's in the forest planet. Yeah. His name is Forrest Whitaker, and that's good.
He should have been on Whitakarius.
But I didn't like that. I didn't like him in this game.
Sure. I didn't really even notice it because I'd forgotten that he was in Rogue One, I think it was, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even really notice him in that as well. I'll tell you the truth.
Mm.
At the end of this, when I saw the credits, I was like, oh, Forrest Whitaker. oh, he was in that other Star Wars movie, right? Weird that they got him to play two characters. So I truly didn't notice.
Yeah, fuck.
There's some other stuff as well peppered throughout.
Right,
but
yeah.
It's a fucking Star Wars game. Of course there's going to be that.
Yeah, yeah.
It has really good ideas deep down. And I think that's what drove me through it. That, like, the exploration, the level design is sometimes good.
Yes.
And sometimes it's very, like, you need the double jump to be able to get through here or whatever.
I got lost I'm getting lost a fair bit.
Right.
Like, checking the holo map, just like, which isn't the fuck, good. Where have I been? No, it's the worst way to, it's like, it's confusing.
And there are sections where that bugged out on me too, because your droid, who I love, BD-1 is really, really good.
Yes.
Just like
better
a little,
than BB-8.
Yes, like just like a little dog droid. They've made a little puppy.
Yes.
The general story and vibe of it, I'm actually kind of I liked.
Right.
By the end of it, the stuff they'd set up had paid off.
Yeah. Okay. Because there's some betrayals and some why didn't you tell me this and stuff like that, and which is the most interesting aspect of it.
And it gets there at the end.
Right. Okay.
I think part of the problem with the story is, like you say, it's out of the way for most of it, and it's like a 20-ish hour game, maybe, if you're doing sort of everything along the way and taking your time, and it's like a movie length story.
Yeah. Yes.
So it definitely,
if that really, it's like a 60-minute or something. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So. But as a side thing, I enjoyed the Star Wars-iness of it, which sometimes puts me off of things.
Yeah.
I didn't really like the combat, but it's cool what they're going for.
Yeah.
It's almost there.
It
the exploration's almost there.
It rewards your patience.
Yeah.
Like I think that's why the people are comparing it to something like a Dark Souls
and
or a Bloodborne.
Parrying and all, you know, you're doing the same sort of shit.
But it's sometimes it feels like I haven't fucked up and yet I've been killed.
Sure, and it's not far enough in either direction. It's not like smooth enough that you're just flowing through it, and it's not like hard enough that it's satisfying. Or whatever, it's not deliberate enough that it satisfies, maybe a better word.
Yes.
It's in a dumb middle ground that doesn't quite work. It doesn't quite look good because it keeps failing in graphical ways all the time.
But
like
then,
stuff
like,
will load in on the sides in like white.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All that sort of shit.
A lot of texture popping.
Hate
but,
that.
But then in terms of the direction, the shots and the compositions are very nice.
It's mainly polished stuff, I think.
I completely agree, yeah. It's the bugs, it's the texture things, and it's apparently the controls are a little weird.
Right.
Like sometimes you can't do multiple inputs, so you can't guard and switch to attacking, or you can't guard and do a force power.
Right.
Or you can, but you have to do it in this like millisecond between animations.
Sure.
So it's maybe trying to come to grips with that. But then I've almost finished the game, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would love to see a sequel to this.
Yeah,
it
I would
really
like,
feels
yeah.
like they've you know, rushed it out because obviously there's the movie soon and there's the Mandalorian and shit. People talking about Star Wars. They needed it out. It wasn't finished, it doesn't feel like, but there's some ideas there and a general core of it that could be really cool.
Yeah.
If they properly did it.
I agree. With the same protagonist, would you want?
Why not? I don't mind the protagonist at all. He's not bothered me.
I think it would be... It easily would make me go from thinking this is a good game to a great game if the protagonist had anything interesting about him.
Sure. Again, towards the end is where this sort of stuff happens a little bit more.
Right.
Which, in terms of pacing for a game this long, is poor.
It's,
I mean,
I'm
he's
not
pretty
even...
standard video game.
Yeah.
Like, you know, quippy guy.
I think I don't even mean like depth. I mean superficially.
Yeah.
Just make it more of a Nathan Drake guy or something that I haven't seen before.
Yeah. I like that you can do all the customization and stuff.
I love
your
the customization.
Outfit and your ship and everything.
Yeah, that's very cool.
And those are the fun unlockables. I mean, they're not that fun. There's a million little fucking crates around.
But
and
I have
just find them.
I have found that fun.
Sure.
do like that.
There's something. It's addictive or something, but I don't know if it's fun. I've kept doing it. But every time I've been like, it's felt a little bit like a chore to go get him, which is how the Tomb Raider games always felt to me too.
Right.
And I don't know why I'm doing it, but I really want to do it. Is that fun?
I can no longer distinguish between an addictive, moorish video game and a fun one.
Yeah, it's hard to...
But it's also like, I like pretending that I'm a Jedi and jumping around and beating shit up. Like, that is fun.
Turning on a lightsaber is fucking cool.
That's it.
Pressing a button and having to go... is just a satisfying thing to do.
Yeah.
But it's just a bit broken and unpolished where it's like, it's not easy to recommend, like, right now.
I was going to say, like, this is a game... Like, I haven't completed a lot of games this year.
Right.
I haven't played a lot of games as much as I've played this game. But I wouldn't be having it in my top five of the year.
No.
Which is
strange. When it's cheaper and it's been patched a bit, go for it if you like Star Wars.
Yeah.
No rush right now, though. It'll still be there and it'll still be the same type of game. It'll still be just as satisfying then as it is now. Like, it's...
Well, possibly more. If they drop a genuinely good patch in a month or two, most of these issues would be solved.
But the main thing is just kind of how it feels like the first one of an idea that they haven't fully utilized yet. Like Uncharted 1 versus Uncharted 2 sort of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
I would love to see this go further and get better.
Mm.
But right now it's like, it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I agree with
that.
It's
fine.
Cool. Well, I guess we'd better leave it there for another week on Filthy Casuals. Let's do, maybe next week we can check in on, like we were saying, we were going to check in on Death Stranding and see where we're all at and have a review in progress of that.
Yes.
But for now, let's call it for another week. Mm-hmm. Filthycasuals.com.au is where you can find links to all our stuff, including our premium Bandcamp episodes that we do. You can also support the show on Patreon and get a bonus episode every week from us. Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals...
That was a lightsaber turning off. Oh. It was perfect as well, which is why you looked confused.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.